Father, we thank you for your goodness, for your grace. We thank you, Lord, that you are indeed a good God. Lord, the little that we have experienced, Lord, we can say like the psalmist that we have tasted and we have seen that the Lord is good. But the reality is, Lord, that you are much better than we have even experienced. That, Lord, your goodness we can never exhaust. Lord, your mercies are new to us every single morning. Father, that you provide for us, you protect us, you take care of us more than we realize. And so, Father, this morning we just give you thanks. We magnify your name. We declare, oh God, that you are our God and we are your people. And Lord, we ask you to continue to minister to us. Lord, we ask you to continue to speak into our lives. Father, I pray this morning that each one of us would hear from you that word which we need to hear, Lord. Father, speak to us, speak through me, but Lord, speak apart from me so that everyone will leave here having heard from you and therefore having their lives edified, therefore having encountered you through your word. And Lord, we pray that through the ministry of your word, that Christ and Christ alone will be seen, that you will be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, and amen. I want to start a new series this morning, which I'm calling Exploring the Blessings of God. And several years ago, I was looking back and checking on things. I realized about 5 years ago, I shared a series on blessings. And to me, it just seems like yesterday, like last week or a year ago. But as I look back, I realize it's been 5 years. That means some of you have never heard it. And I believe it's a series that if you can grasp it, it will change your life. You'd be a different person. You'd look at life in a different way. You'd see yourself in a different way. And so this first part, I want to share what I'm calling the power of blessing. The power of a blessing. There's something about us in the West that we don't grasp certain spiritual principles. Because if we did, we'd live differently, we'd function differently. But as I read the scriptures, I realize that the people in the Old Testament and even the time of Christ, that they understood the power of a blessing. I mean, this thing was so powerful that, Jacob and Esau would be angry that his father blessed Jacob and he didn't get the blessing. Most of us would be like, no big deal. No, but they understood the principle of blessing and that something happens when somebody is blessed. And so Esau was angry. Esau wanted to kill Jacob because of the blessing. I mean, that tells me how serious this thing was. And Jacob was prepared to deceive his father for a blessing. That tells me how seriously they saw it. Jesus is ministering, healing the sick, casting out demons. And the parents recognize that this is a man who's anointed by God. And they brought their children to him. Their children weren't sick. Their children didn't have any demons harassing them. They wanted him to lay hands on their children and bless them. Can you imagine that? They understood the power of a blessing. And the disciples were like, "Sir, ma'am, could you take your children one side? Don't you see that there are some sick people here who need to be healed? Why are you bringing your children here? Don't you allow them to go and play somewhere else?" And the Bible says, a very few times the Bible talks about Christ becoming angry. And it actually uses the word that means indignant. He wasn't just slightly angry. He was indignant as his disciples. Why? For stopping the children from coming to get a blessing. In other words, Christ was saying, "I'll take time. These sick people can wait a little bit. They've been sick for a while anyway. Let them wait a little bit. I want to bless the children. Because a blessing will change or can change, have the potential to change the destiny of a person." And so, as you start to grasp these things, you look at these principles differently. So turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 1. Because this concept of blessing runs all the way through the Bible. It's one of those things that once your eyes get attuned to it, it's like you can see it. And you wonder, why didn't I see it before? I didn't see it until years after I was a Christian, because in my Presbyterian church, you know, as they say around here, bless their heart. You know, they taught me to love God and love people, but that's it. Genesis chapter 1, verse 21. It says, so God created the great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing with which the waters teems, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. So here is our God who created creation, and obviously anything that he does is good, but God still examined it, and God says, yeah, that's good. Good job, Elohim. It's good. And most of us would have stopped there. It's a good job. Everything is perfect. Exactly what I wanted, but God didn't stop there. Do you realize that? He didn't just say, well, everything is good. That's fine. Let me move on to the next day. Let me just do what I need to do. No, the Bible says that in verse 22, the Bible says, and God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth. So God already had a good creation. Nothing was wrong with it, but he still blessed it. You realize that? Nothing was wrong with it. It was perfect, but he still blessed it. And therefore, from Genesis 1 all the way through, if you read Revelation, it tells you if you read that book, you'll get blessed. From Genesis all the way through to Revelation, this idea of a God who blesses is there. You don't have to be in difficulties to experience the blessings of God. Everything can be perfect in your life, but you still need God's blessing. And that's just the animals and the birds. Verse 23, and there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. Let's skip down because we have a lot to go through. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So from verse 27, we know that what happens next really occurs after he has made Eve. Because he says male and female, he created them. That's like a summary statement. And if you understand what happened in Genesis 2, the Lord looked at Adam and said, oh, it's not good for man to be alone. That's the only thing he said, but it was not perfect about his creation. So he made Eve, and when he made Eve, now everything is good. And so after he had put them together, he didn't just leave them and say, okay, everything is fine now. The earth is perfect. I've already blessed the earth for you. So you guys are okay. No, he didn't stop there. It says in verse 28, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. So not only did he bless his creation, but he also blessed man and woman with a similar type of blessing, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and cause the rule of God to flow through you to subdue the earth. And so I thought, there must be something to this blessing thing. Because if God is doing it, he must think that Adam and Eve need it. He must think that his creation need it. So there's something to this idea, this concept of blessing that I need to grasp, and I believe the church of God need to grasp. There's a difference. Many people read that blessing, be fruitful and multiply, and think God is repeating himself. Think that the fruitful and multiply is the same thing. No, it's two different things. You see? Because multiplying by itself is not necessarily a blessing. When people have cancer cells multiplying in their body, that's not a blessing. If you follow what I'm saying, multiplication by itself is not a blessing. In fact, humankind multiplied, and in Genesis 6, the Lord says, man, these people are wicked. They increased in number, but they were wicked. And so God said, I need to wipe them out. So the key really is the fruitfulness. God is a God who is interested in fruitfulness all the way through Scripture. That's why in John 15, he talks about the wine dresser. And he prunes a plant that might bear for fruit. And it talks about the fig tree, that he comes to a fig tree and is about to cut it down because there was no fruit on it. And the people said, give it a chance. Let us manure it and stuff and come back next year and see if there's any fruit. And when he was hungry, he came to a fig tree and it looked like it's supposed to have fruit and there was no fruit and Jesus cursed it. Because God is interested in fruitfulness. What does it mean to be fruitful? It means to fulfill your purpose and your potential. So when he said to man, be fruitful and multiply, he wasn't just saying, let's have children. He was saying, first of all, fulfill your purpose and your destiny. Walk with me and be fruitful and then multiply that. The power of a blessing. Different words are used in the scriptures for blessing. In the Old Testament, they have at least two words used, and I put there in the notes. For those of you who are new, the notes are in the middle of the bulletin. One of the words used is barak. That's a word used there in Genesis 1, 22, and 23, and 28, which means to kneel, to bless, to favor, to be privileged. Another word used is esher, which means to be happy, to be successful. That's one used in Psalms, especially Psalms 1, where it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But is the light is in the law of the Lord. So the blessing is not just in not being with them, but it's delighting yourself in the law of the Lord and practicing the law of the Lord. And I say that man shall be successful in everything that he does. And so that man will therefore experience God's grace, experience God's favor, and will be successful because he's blessed, because he's walking in the law of the Lord, and whatever he puts his hands to becomes successful. In the New Testament, you have at least two other words that I use. Eulogio, which really means, legio means to speak, and eulo, that prefix means well, that's where you get eulogy, means to speak well of the person. So that means to speak well of something, to make a person happy, to cause something to prosper. That word is used in Luke chapter 1. Verse 41, 42 down. It says, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, so Mary came to visit Elizabeth. The baby in Elizabeth's womb leapt and was filled with the Holy Spirit. And a loud voice she exclaimed, blessed are you among women. And blessed is the child you bear. And so if you look at that, you realize that here a blessing is even being pronounced upon an unborn child. You realize that? Just like how people can curse a child in the womb and see all sort of negative things, and that thing affects a child, in the same way we can start to bless that child from before the child is born. You shall be great. You shall fulfill God's will and God's purposes. You shall delight in the ways of the Lord. Don't wait until difficulties come, and that's the time you're trying to release a blessing, although it's still fine to do it then. But why not release it from early? Why not declare the blessings of God from early so that child comes out into an atmosphere where the potential that the child has been released to be fulfilled? And so, here we have a blessing released from before the child was even born. And the word that is used there is makario, or makarizo, which really means to be to make happy. Sorry, the one that is used is eulogio. Then further on in 46, a different one is used, makarizo, which really means to make happy, to be fortunate, successful, to be envied. to be privileged recipient of God's favor. As verse 4-5, and where Mary says, blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Makarizo is a word that is used there in Matthew 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, where it says, blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek, etc. In other words, privileged are they. They are recipient of God's grace. They are recipient of God's divine intervention in their life and in their circumstance. And so they are to be envied by others who are looking on. So blessing is similar to a petition prayer, but it's somewhat different. It is similar to prophecy, but it's a little different. So if you turn with me to Numbers chapter 6. Numbers 6, verse 22 down. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, in other words, tell the priests, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. In other words, the Lord protect you. The Lord watch over you. Verse 25, the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May you experience God's grace. May you experience God's favor. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his shalom. May you experience God's well-being in every area of your life. And when the priest would say that, according to verse 27, so they'll put my name on the Israelites, and God says, and I will bless them. In other words, it's not so much what the people say that brings a blessing, but as you say it, you release God to fulfill it. On the other hand, if they don't say it, God is going to stand back and wait before you can experience a blessing. So he's saying to the priest, your responsibility is to bless the people and my responsibility is to bring it to pass. It means, therefore, we have to be deliberate. You have to direct the blessing. In Isaiah 55, the Lord says, my word shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that for which I sent it. You follow what I'm saying? When God speaks, he speaks with a specific purpose. He's not just saying things. When he said, let there be light, he was speaking a specific thing to come into existence. And so when you want to release the blessing, you have to be specific. This is what I want to see accomplished in the Lord. And then God will come along and say, yeah, let it be so. But this child is excellent. That's all right. They still need to be blessed. Just like when God made his creation. There's more to experience. There's more for them to come into. I didn't know these things even when my children were young. So I'm sharing it with you now. Some of you have young children. Some of you have grandchildren. Some of you have nieces and nephews. Oh my, what a privilege you have to release the blessings of God into their life and to change their destiny. So it's not wishful speech, but it's positive faith declaration. And blessings are not necessarily, put here in the notes, not necessarily linked to material stuff. Jesus said of the rich man that he was a fool. Because your life does not consist of the abundance of things that you have. You can have all sorts of things in your life miserable. Look at Hollywood. So there's a certain type of wellness. There's a certain type of life that God wants us to experience and to live that the world will look on and say, man, he's so lucky. And man, like, no, I'm not lucky. I'm just blessed. I put here, it's opposite, but it's much more powerful than a curse. And you can read through Deuteronomy 28 and see that. I think it was several weeks ago in our Wednesday night study, you know, Jim over here was sharing with me that it seems so easy for people to curse themselves. And they say negative things, and they say, I'm such a fool. Nothing's good is going to happen to me. I always end up in an accident. All of these negative things always happen to me. And they curse themselves and don't even realize it. But as priests of the Lord, you and I, we're all priests. We now have the privilege of releasing blessings. And changing circumstances and changing lives, even your own life. You need to look at yourself and realize, you know what, I'm the blessed of God. The goodness of God is in my life. Like the psalmist, you know what follows me? Goodness and mercy. Not bad luck. Bad luck is for the unsaved. Goodness and mercy of God follows me because I'm the blessed of God. I will fulfill my destiny. Oh my. How much time do we have? So the creator, I'm talking about now the impact of a blessing. God blessed his good creation. The first one was to all of the things he created, the universal blessing. Then he had a specific blessings for human, which include ruling over the earth. And I put here to being fulfilled means to flourish, to fulfill purpose and potential. While multiply, this means to increase in number. The last thing Jesus did. The very last thing Jesus did was to bless his disciples. Did you realize that? That shows me how valuable and important the blessing is. He has taught them for all of these years. And after his resurrection, he taught them more about the kingdom. And it says there in Luke 24, he told them to stay in Jerusalem and wait. And then it says he was blessing them. And as he was blessing them, in Luke 24, he was lifted up from them. It's as if you're saying, now you have everything, I need to release something into your lives so you can fulfill all of the mandate I've given to you. Yes, you've been trained. Yes, you have all of this. And yes, you shall be filled with the Spirit, but you still need that blessing. Genesis chapter 12. I like this passage. Genesis 12, we all know about Abraham. Genesis 12, verse 1. And the Lord said to Abraham, leave your country, leave your people and your father's household and go to the land I will show you. And I'll make you into a great nation and I will bless you. And I'll make your name great and you will be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you and curse those. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Verse 2 there, God says to him, I'm going to bless you so that you can be a blessing. That's what God is saying to Abraham. I'm going to bless you so much that you now end up being a blessing to the people around you. Oh Lord, help us. Friends, can I tell you something? God's default response is to release blessing. Many people believe God's default response is judgment, but no, it's blessing and mercy. That's why it says he's slow to anger. You know what it says about Jesus? In John chapter 1, it says, John 1, verse 16, from the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. In other words, through Christ, all we have coming to us is a blessing, blessing, blessing. As soon as this one runs out, another one trips in. Blessing after another, one blessing after another. That's what I walk in. That's what you're supposed to walk in. One blessing after another. As soon as this one finishes, another one comes in. I'm just a blessed of God. Blessings can oftentimes, I put here, negate obstacles. We have here in Genesis chapter 26, the story of Isaac. And if you know the story of Abraham and Isaac, and what was happening in the time that, you know, with Abraham, he encountered Abimelech. And eventually Abimelech allowed him to live there, and Abraham dug a well and was able to benefit from that well. But after Abraham died, they blocked up the well. Along comes Isaac. Genesis chapter 26. It says, "Now there was a famine in the land, besides the earlier famine of Abraham's time. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines in Gerar." So there's famine, and Isaac comes down, and the Lord appears to Isaac, verse 2, and says, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land I tell you to live." In other words, because there's difficulties, doesn't mean you run going to Egypt where things might be better. Don't go down to Egypt. Live where I tell you you must live. That's the word to Isaac. So Isaac decided to obey the Lord. Verse 3, "Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you, and I will bless you." And so Isaac stays. Verse 12 of Genesis 26. Remember the conditions. There's famine generally around. Isaac plants crops. Isaac planted crops in the land, and the same year reaped 100-fold because what? God blessed him. The circumstances are negative, but this child of God who's been obedient to God plants some seed, and he doesn't just get twice. He doesn't just get 10 times or 30 times. The Bible says he gets 100-fold. I mean, that's a whole heap of blessing. In a time when things are difficult. And so it says now, in verse 18, Isaac opened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham. He goes back and he finds his father's well, and he reopens it. It says, which the Philistines had stopped up after Abraham died. Verse 19, Isaac's servant dug in the valley and discovered a well of fresh water there. And what happened? The people said, "No, that's not your well. That's ours." Let me read it, because you don't seem like you believe me. Verse 20, "But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen and said, 'This water is ours.'" Isaac is the one who come along. There's famine, and he says, "You know what? My father had dug this well. I don't know why they block it up, but I'm going to dig it again." And water come forth in the midst of famine. And if you're like, "What? No, that's not your well. That's ours." And Isaac is like, "All right." You know, Isaac understood that he's the blessed of God, so he's not going to fight. Yes. So Isaac, move on. You want that well? Take it. Oh, I love this. So he gave the well a name. Verse 21, they dug another well, but they quarreled over that one also. So I dig one well, re-dig my father's well, water comes, and you guys fight over it. I dig another well, and they come and they fight again, so they want this one. And I'm thinking, why don't you go and dig your own well? Because when they dug their own well, they got nothing. And everywhere this man of God goes and he digs a well, water comes forth because what? He's the blessed of God. In other words, difficulties are all around, but when you're the blessed of God, God supernaturally intervenes and things happen. And so there's another quarrel. Verse 22, so he moved on from there. Because when you're the blessed of God, you don't have to fight with people, because it's not, your blessings don't come from people, your blessings come from God. You see, so my blessing, if I'm on a job and people are envious, you know what? I can find another job because I'm the blessed of God. You follow what I'm saying? I'm not going to stay here and fight with you and become and get down into the ground, into the whatever with you. No, I'm the blessed of God. God is with me. And so he leaves and digs another well. And this time, nobody quarreled over it. Verse 22, and he named it Rehoboth, saying, "No, the Lord has given us room and we'll flourish in the land." And so the people are looking on and they're like, there's something different about this guy. Verse 28, it says, they answered and said, we saw clearly that the Lord was with you. So we said, There ought to be an agreement between us and between us and you. Let us make a treaty so that you will not, so you will do us no harm and we will not molest you, but always treat you well and send your way in peace. And know you are the blessed by the Lord. In other words, after a while, the people realized, no, this guy is blessed by God. It's independent of the circumstances. It's independent of what's going all around, because our source is God himself. And so when you start to understand the power of a blessing, it will cause people to experience the goodness of God no matter what's happening around them. You want to release it into their life. You have some children, it doesn't matter where they end up. If they're the blessed of God, they will succeed. Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 7. Deuteronomy 2 verse 1 says, then they turn back and set out towards the desert along the route to Red Sea as the Lord had directed me. And it comes undone. It's recounting what had happened. And so they have to go through Edom. Verse 5, the Lord says, do not provoke them to war. I will not give you any of their land, not even enough to put your foot down. I have given Esau the hill country of Seir as his own. You are to pay them in silver for the food you eat and the water you drink. Because God is saying, you don't need anything from them. If you drink water, pay them for it. If you eat food, pay them for it. Verse 7. The Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hands. In other words, you're the blessed of God. You want nothing from anybody because God has blessed you. So I'll pay you for your stuff. I don't need your stuff. I'm not trying to get something away from you. Because I'm the blessed of God. And so God is saying, you don't need anything from them. You are blessed by me. I bless the work of your hands. Isn't that what it says? The Lord your God has blessed all the work of your hands. Why is that important? Because you can work hard and still don't get blessed. It says it's in Malachi, you work hard and you get the money and it just disappears. And even if you work hard, you still need God's blessing. That's why God blessed this creation. It's a pattern for you and I to understand. Don't just work hard and think that that's enough. No, sir, Lord, I want you to bless everything that I do. Everything I put my hands to, I want you to bless it. So it fulfills its purpose and its destiny. Don't just live and then wonder why this thing didn't work out. So it says, the Lord has blessed all the work of your hands. He has watched over your journey through this vast desert. In other words, a place of emptiness and barrenness. These 40 years, the Lord has been with you and you have lacked nothing. Isn't that? 40 years in the desert, nothing is there. And God, you're so blessed. God meets all of your needs. So much so he's saying, you don't need to get anything from anybody else. I am the Lord your God who has blessed you. God is a God of blessings. And so I want us to grasp these things, this reality. That God will meet our needs. He'll intervene even when things look dismal. He'll provide protection for them in the wilderness. He'll provide food for them. He'll provide healing for them. None of the people came out sick. They were all blessed. Oh my. Is Sean anywhere around? I put here in our notes that oftentimes a blessing has no limits. And as we go through this series, you're going to be surprised. I mean, when the Lord, in Mark, it talks about the Lord blessing the fish and the loaves. That's what it says. It uses the word blessed. And they fed all of the 5,000 people and that extra. It has no limits. It says of Jacob that he was blessed, and that very night when he was running away from his brother, he encountered the Lord. The blessing of God caused the spiritual realm to open up to this man. Because his father blessed him. And so things, certain dynamics occurred. He was no longer the same. Let us stand. The goal of God's blessing us is for us to understand the goodness of God. It's for us to be an example to the world that they understand that the God we serve is a God who loves his own and takes care of his own. The goal is for us to be drawn to the Lord, to worship him and to glorify his name. And God has given you and given me as priest of God the privilege of releasing blessings. Can you imagine that? The privilege of releasing blessings into the life of those over whom you have authority. And we'll get into this some more. But over those that God has placed in some sort of relationship with you. You know, Abraham was blessed by Melchizedek. Abraham was well off. But what Melchizedek, this priest of Salem, still blessed Abraham. What a privilege. Let's just bow our heads this morning. Perhaps there's somebody in this house, you have walked away from the Lord. And you need to recommit yourself to the Lord this morning. I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand right where you're standing. Now for the rest of us, I'm going to ask us to hold out our hands like this to the Lord. Because if you notice something about Christ, when he was blessing the children, he laid hands on them. And he was imparting something into the lives of those children. Their life would never be the same. And I'm going to ask God to anoint our hands. As my friend James over here, you know, sometimes you only have your children for certain times. But in those times when you have them, you can bless them. If you follow what I'm saying, you can release a blessing into their life. Sometimes you only see your grandchildren for a certain time. You can release a blessing into their life. You don't have to wait on their parents. You as a grandparent, you have that privilege. You might be an uncle or an aunt. You can release that blessing. You might be a teacher. And those students come to you and they're acting up, you can release a blessing into their lives and see their destinies change. You're not dumb, you're smart. Father, these hands are your hands. Lord, we are your children. Lord, we are your priests. And Lord, like you said to the sons of Aaron, that they should proclaim certain things upon Israel and you would fulfill it. Lord, in the same way as priest of God, you have given us the privilege of releasing blessings. Lord, blessings upon people over whom we have influence. Blessing, oh God, even upon circumstances, Lord. Even as you bless your creation, Lord, we can bless our environment and see change take place. And so, Father, I pray you might anoint our hands this morning. That Father, as we lay hands upon individuals, Lord, as we lay hands even upon inanimate things, oh God, we would see change. And Father, we no longer just see ourselves as just living, but Lord, we might see ourselves really as being blessed to be a blessing to others. And Father, we might no longer declare negative things about ourselves, but Lord, may we declare what you say about us, that we are blessed. We are the blessed of God. Father, I pray, oh God, you might cause us, oh Lord, to see just how much, in how many different ways you have blessed us. And Lord, help us not to take for granted, oh God, when we work hard or when we do things, oh God. Let us not take it for granted, but Lord, to release a blessing upon it so that you can be glorified. And so, Lord, anoint our hands. Anoint our entire beings, oh God. And Lord, as we go through this week, Father, may the words that come from our mouth be words of blessing. Lord, you said even when people do us evil, we have to bless them instead. Lord, we thank you for hearing us and for responding to our prayers. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Let's just sing this song.
But it's a scripture of Jacob wrestling with the angel. And Jacob said to the angel, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Jacob understood something about blessing. And that blessing changed Jacob's destiny when he met with his brother Esau. Father, we thank you, God, for the power of a blessing. Now we thank that you are a God whose default response is to bless. That, Lord, even when things are good, you still bless it. How much more when things are not going well. And so, Lord, I pray, oh God, you might cause us to understand the power of a blessing for our own personal lives. That, Lord, we might always seek to live in that place where you release your blessings into our lives and our circumstances. Father, help us to understand that you want us blessed, that we can be a blessing to others. Father, help us to understand the authority you have given to us as priests of the Most High God. And Father, I pray, oh God, as we interact, oh God, with people, that, Lord, we might make a difference because of the blessings that we release into their circumstances. That, Lord, we might direct our blessings, oh God, so change would occur. And Lord, we declare of ourselves, as the psalmist declared, that Lord, our cup overfloweth, oh God. That Lord God, you make a place for us, a table for us, a place of feasting in the presence of our enemies. Lord, we declare of ourselves, oh God, that surely only goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. And we, oh God, are committed in our hearts, oh God, just to seek your face. Father, we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, and amen. You are dismissed.